back to Movie Trailer Review. This is Ro, and I'm covering the American Black Film Festival. And I had the opportunity to sit down and speak with the director and writer of A Storybook Ending, one of the HBO Short Film Competition official selections. This short film is about a case of mistaken identity where a 30-something black man accidentally kills an undercover white cop in self-defense. He flees the scene, but it turns out he wasn't by himself, and two low-level criminals follow him home and demand money in exchange for their silence. Writer-director Landry Olabisi sat down and talked to me about his 18-minute short, and well, I fangirled just a little, but then the conversation got interesting. So your short, Storybook Ending, is really good.
Thank you.
I got it early. I think I've watched it 3 or 4 times.
Oh.
I like dark comedies, and I like farcical kind of ways that we deal with our own shortcomings.
Uh-huh.
And so this particular story and the way that you decided to tell it, I saw in the official run during the segment, you were saying that you didn't want to do it in a way that it had already been done after you had the idea. So I know you said this came from the incident with the tennis player. How did you get from thinking about that to the way that you actually designed your story?
Because it just came from, okay, if that happened to me, what would I do?
Mm-hmm.
Or what would I do if I was making all the wrong decisions, right? So if I threw them, because every time I see the video, I'm like, yo, if somebody attacked me like that, I'm fighting back. But then what happens if you fight back and things, you know, and the guy dies, right?
Right.
And then you see that the guy is a cop, and you're like, and what if no one's around? And what if it's like late at night? What if it's dark? What if you don't, you know, all of those things. That's where that idea started.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always going to, when I first had the idea, it was always going to be a social justice piece, which kind of probably went more with my sensibilities at the time of the types of films that I was making. But then, I had already seen Fruitvale Station and Monsters and Men, I think, was coming out too. And I just wanted to do something that was, that didn't go that route, you know, because it's already been done and it's been done really well. So I said, I've never really seen something like this with people of color in a dark comedy set. So that's really where it came from.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I felt so seen when he got up and turned over and saw the badge and was out. I was like,
yo, can I tell you something about this? You know, I'm not sure if this should be off the record or not, but I've had so many white people watch and be like, why is he running away? And I'm like, really? 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 Are we really having this conversation?
Yeah.
And this was before all of the George Floyd, all of any of that stuff happened. And whenever I would show it to black people, they'd just be like, oh, yeah, he'd totally be out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To the depths of my soul, I felt seen. As soon as I was like, leave, just get up, just go. It wasn't even a thought. I'm like, it's time to go.
It's so funny how just those two different groups see that moment so differently. Why doesn't he just stay and call the police? And it's like, yeah, we just live in completely different worlds, don't we?
Okay, see, so I went to law school, so my right brain says, it's not his fault. Call the cops, you know. And then my left brain says, no, leave. Just run.
Right.
And then the lawyer in me is like, he didn't pick up his phone. He left evidence on the scene. He need to go get his phone and then run.
Oh, yeah. He actually did pick up his phone.
Yeah, no, I caught it. But the first time he left it, when I watched it, I'm like, okay, he got his phone. Like, yeah, I turned CSI. I was like, okay, what's the forensic evidence trace back? So I was like, he got his phone. Okay, cool. There's like skin fibers, but it's cool. It's fine. Let's just go. And and I really feel like, even though this was a short, and if you do make a feature, I'm totally watching it. But even though this was a short, this opens the door to the kinds of conversations that we really do need to have about the two different worlds that we live in. And you can do it with humor. I'm dying to show this to my very, very white, very conservative neighbor, because I know her first instinct will be, well, I don't understand why he just didn't call the police and explain to them what happened. And and to be real, like, my buddy's like, no, you take the video and then you call the police, because now he can prove. I was like, that only works depending how long they were videotaping. And I love the way that you kind of wrap this back around into a class discussion. This is a, you know, a dark-skinned black man who finds himself in some unreal circumstances. And then things get surreal because somebody saw him. So it wasn't completely nobody was around. And of course, they look at this man, they see what they think he has, and they want it. And they think they have leverage. We don't really talk about that enough, especially intra-community, how we trying to foul sometimes. Like, I said out loud when I realized, I was like, oh, see, sometimes it just be your own. I mean, you crammed a lot into these short minutes, but there was so much life here. And it was kind of like the music gave you that slight comedy of errors feel. And I'm curious as to how you landed on the actors that you cast in this.
So it started with Kara, who played the wife, Claudia. And she and I had worked together. I teach at the New York Film Academy. She went to school at NYU. She got her master's from NYU, and then afterwards she taught at the New York Film Academy briefly, and we knew each other there, but I had never really seen her act. And then I remember I was writing this script, and the script for the feature, actually, and I was, you know, I was just thinking of people who would play it, and she was doing Jitney on Broadway, and I went to go see it, and she was phenomenal. I was like, oh my gosh, this woman can act. So she was the first person that I called when I had the idea of doing the short. And she was like, sure, yeah, I'll do it. And I asked her if she had any ideas for somebody who could play opposite her, like a male lead. And she mentioned Timmy, the guy who ended up playing it. Like, I sat down, spoke to him, we talked. I thought he was great. And I was like, yeah, he could definitely do this. And I just liked his whole energy, his whole vibe. And then the other two characters, I had a casting director, her name's Lois Drabkin. She, you know, put out a casting call, had a bunch of people come in over the course of 2 days. And when Tony, the woman who ended up playing the villain, when she came in, I was like, wow, she is phenomenal. And same with the other guy. So I was just like, okay, those are my peoples.
Okay. I mean, because they really work, especially I call out of the loudmouth problem that wouldn't stop, but AKA my best friend. So like the way that you worked in the conversation about like, and like, oh, you know, y'all got it. It's like, look at y'all sitting here. I know how much rent you pay. And I was like, I've heard all these conversations, people, you know, I was like, see, this is how you end up with problems. But it was so farcical. And then the music, like, okay, I love Trainspotting. And this just really kind of reminded me of some of the frantic times that they were in there that became slightly comical because of the music that they that Boyle chose to put in that changed the tone of the scene. And I made the mistake when I first had this on and I had it muted when it first started. I'm like, oh, this is really sad. Oh, this is terribly serious. I don't want to watch something sad and serious.
Funny.
And then I was like, then I went away and I came back and I realized that the sound was playing through my headphones. I'm like, first I'm like, okay, I'm dumb, we're not gonna tell nobody. And then I put my headphones on and I heard the music. I was like, oh, this is hilarious. But it really does have almost that dual layer feel. And then you get in and I was like, if she don't shut her loud ass mouth, I was like, y'all already in duct tape. What is happening? Be quiet. It's like, that woman is unstable and she is not going to give you her money. But like, how long did it take you to shoot this? Was it like a one shot?
The whole short, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
5 days.
5 days. Okay. I mean, see, I don't have any patience. I could write it. I couldn't actually be the director or one of the actors. I can't do it. I just, my attention span's not with it. But I'm not going to lie. But it felt like you kind of just put everybody in the room, stage play feel of the primary part when they're in the apartment. It still had levels, like when the couple goes over to the side and they start arguing. And then this short again morphs into the imbalance in relationships, you know, who really is the decision maker, you know, what really goes into deciding how we move. And the fact that you had a very strong Black woman who's like, no, they can have my money. It's my money. And then you had, but then you also juxtaposed it with a Black man who was like, whoa, 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 hold on. But he never kind of went to that really aggro, toxic energy that a lot of people like to put in those male, female, particularly Black male, female dynamics. And so he had a completely different type of quiet strength that I thought balanced really well to her being more verbal about her feelings and where she felt. So was that deliberate? Did it kind of morph once you from the page to the screen?
Yeah, no, it was pretty deliberate. Okay. I always wanted her to, well, because in the feature length, she's really the one, he's a bartender, right? Mm-hmm. So she's the one who kind of, I don't want to say she wears the pants, but she definitely has more power, and he definitely feels like she has more power. And in their relationship, like the subtext, I think you got a lot of it. She never actually says, hey, this is mine, I make the decisions, this, that, and the other thing, because I have the money. Mm-hmm. But I think that's something that he feels. And then this is finally the first time where she's actually like saying it, because he's now put her in this situation, and she's like, why the fuck do I have to clean up everything?
You know,
and she's coming from that perspective, and she's like, I always got to clean shit up for you, and now I got to clean this up too? Are you serious? Are you serious?
Yeah. So first I'm dealing with your mama, and now this.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So it's like everything's coming to a head with them, and it's just like, wait, we got to deal with this now? Really? Really? We're dealing with this now. And I always thought it would be funny to have a serious couple conversation or a couple argument in front of a bunch of people in a ridiculous scenario.
No, I thought it was perfect because it kind of pushed you a little away from the primary purpose. So you almost forgot why those other two people were sitting in the back, and you're just like, oh, I'm just really embarrassed for y'all right now. Y'all arguing right in front of the strangers. And then you remember, like, oh, no, we argued about the fact that they're straight. Okay. Yeah. And I was like, how dare he? Now I'm thinking, and you like, just this a little meta moment. So it really works. But it also kind of plays to that energy where, I don't know, a man alive, and I'm going to say it, who will not try to wiggle out of an argument, almost to the point to where he forces a woman to have that conversation with him in the most inappropriate setting possible if she really going to have that conversation.
Yeah, I just, I love moments like that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, it's interesting because a lot of people have that as their favorite scene.
It really is. I was like, mommy and daddy are fighting and I don't like it.
Yeah.
But I also liked how you juxtapose, you know, big energy, big talk, until homie in the corner's like, oh, what you gonna do, kill us? Go on ahead, kill us. And she's like, whoa, speak for yourself. I can't go with you. I can't. This is where I got to get off the ride. I was down for the blackmail.
I was influenced by Breaking Bad a lot in that sense. Like the first, what was it, the third episode where he has the criminals, mm-hmm. or that one criminal in his basement. I wanted them to know, you know, like the criminals to know, okay, you have us tied up, but you're not going to fucking kill us. What else are you going to do? Like,
right.
It's kind of like me. Like, if I had somebody tied up here, he's like, motherfucker, you got to let me go sooner or later because you're not going to kill me. And I would know I'm not going to kill him. He would know I'm not going to kill him. You know, so it's like, how much leverage do you actually have?
Right. And you see, anyone who knows me would say they should be quiet. Rhonda's crazy. But I mean, I'm not real. I would actually be sitting here. I would do the risk analysis of letting you leave my apartment out loud. Like, especially if I didn't want to actually kill you, I would walk through all the scenarios in which I don't have to tell anyone you ever made it to my house. Because I am a special kind of crazy. But, I mean, these are the things we have to admit to ourselves, right?
Yes.
So, but the way it actually ultimately turned around where he was talking big and she's like, okay, pump your brakes, bruh. Let's, you know, it reminded me of this other scene, and it was actually in a superhero thing where this girl is just talking all kinds of mess because, you know, she's badass. And but she's talking to someone who's kind of Omega level badass. And she says that one time, one thing too many. And he kind of turns his head at her, Terminator-like. And she's like, okay, maybe I pushed you a little too far. My bad. Yeah, so I liked how that switched things up. And you could actually see there, you know, we are less on the same page. I'm ready to go. So when it wraps around, and then you find out, ultimately, at the end, he doesn't have any choice if he wants to live. It's like, I think a lot of times, especially non-white people, don't understand what escalation of a situation means and how words play into it, because they'll change somebody else's mindset for how they physically react to whatever you do next. And I thought this was really well done, because, you know, they've put this man in a horrible position. Everyone's screaming and he's still standing in the place of, I didn't do anything wrong. This is terrible. I'ma just call the police.
Right.
And his wife is like, do you want to go to jail? I mean, you killed a cop. And Loudmouth is like, he's a cop. It's not going to matter. And her voice was glorious. Like, the tonal quality of the her. It's like if Bitch You Serious was a person. And it was perfect. And it was so intrusive every time she yelled. And it was so perfectly balanced by his wife's energy. She was also yelling, but she was like, okay, I'm sorry, no. My bank balance is positive. Like, I worked too hard to make enough money to where I didn't have to worry about this. Why you bring this to my house? And, like, to get that differing energy was perfect. But then to see it shift when the women were dealing with each other. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to discount, I'm first of all, light-skinned girl fights are amazing.
Right.
And the fact that you actually had them both remember to ball up their fits, there wasn't no hair pulling. And, like, I thought it was great. But at the one point when I was like, you know, if anybody in here might actually consider killing you.
Might be her.
Yeah.
My wife wanted the wife to shoot her at the end.
Oh, so did I. What are we waiting for? I was like, she's like, oh, I got a baby. And if you had kids, you should be at home. Why you ain't home? I'm like, I am a terrible, terrible feminist in the sense that people think that we're all supposed to have some like-minded solidarity of, like, the core issues of importance. I'm a bad feminist because she's like, you can walk in my house and try to rob me and you won't worry about your kids. Don't expect me to worry about your kids now that I have the gun. I mean, no. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, ma'am. And then she's like, oh, I'll delete the video. I was like, okay, so what about your cloud backup? Your backup to your, you know, cellular provider?
No, you are not leaving this house.
Yeah. I was like, you got to go.
Yeah.
It was so well done. To call it a storybook ending, I was like, how exactly does that what? And then the moment where they sit down next to each other and hold hands, every single part of my blackness was like, and they live! Fuck happily ever after. They live! I get it. I got it. I was so mad at you.
My wife was always like, how's it a storybook ending? It's not a storybook ending.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's like the Slick Rick song, a children's story.
Mm-hmm. No. That guy, I was so mad. I was mad. I was like, first of all, it took me way too long to catch the Slick Rick of it all. And I felt like a disappointment to myself. I was like, how did I not catch that? I was like, really? He even gave musical cues and my black ass missed it for a whole 10 minutes. I was so mad. But the other part of it is I like reimaginings and of fairy tales. And I like when people kind of take folklores and fables. And this is kind of like a jacked up Aesop's fable. You know, play stupid games, get stupid prizes. But like the thing that jumped out at me is like when they grabbed hands, I was like, oh, for Black people, a happy ending, a happily ever after, sometimes simply is, and they lived.
Yep. That's it.
Period. No dot, dot, dot. Period. I'm alive. I'm good.
Talking to you makes me that much more excited to make the feature. Wants me to make it even more, just
please.
So you know. So
oh,
thank you so much.
I am in. I'm telling you. I understand why this made it to the being a finalist for the HBO short film competition. I absolutely understood about halfway through. I think that this is the kind of farcical like commentary that Tarantino aspires to do, but lacks the melanin to accomplish. I'll say it. I'm allowed.
Yes. I agree.
Yeah. I was like, when I'm watching this, I was like, if he would just pick something that was completely in his wheelhouse, this is how his gimmicks and tricks and sleight of hands would work. Everything would land. But because he persists in wanting to be out of his wheelhouse, there's always that slight disconnect. And I never had that disconnect in storybook ending. And part of it is because I felt seen. And, you know, I'm slightly murderous. And I'm not going to lie. You come in my house and try to take my shit, I'm getting a tarp. Some lie. I live on a coastal city. I know exactly how far off the shelf is. And I have a friend with a boat. I'm not the one. So... You're going to die. Come to my house, you're dying. You're dying. I was like, if I'm going to jail, it's going to actually be for multiple, not accidental, deliberate multiple murder. I killed you. I got caught. I'll deal with it. But an accident? I'm going to fight you. But all the ways that you could have that conversation and be as ridiculous as I've been being is what really makes this so fabulous. And that's why I was in the middle of watching it the second time when I emailed and said, can I talk to him? I mean, will he talk to me? I'm crazy, but will he talk to me?
Well, thank you so much for watching.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. Thanks for calling.
Absolutely. Thank you for giving me the time and putting up with my ridiculous and tell your wife I say she's right and you should listen to her more.
Man, I listened to her a lot of this. Well, you have a lot of her influences all over.
I listened to all of it and I'm watching this and the fact that there were so many open questions made me really hopeful that you were going to do a feature. So knowing that the feature is where you started mentally and then you came back down for the short for other purposes, I'm super extra excited. I am. This is really good. I absolutely enjoyed this.
Me too.
So I wish you luck with the feature. May someone give you large amounts of money.
Thank you so much. From your mouth to God's ears.
And then directly into your bank account. So
yeah, exactly.
If we had all been in a theater together watching a storybook ending, that theater would have been so loud.
Oh, man, I would have loved to have seen that.
I guarantee you, especially if Fool's Out of Bra with me, we'd have been so loud and so very Black. It would have been amazing. So I think your sensibilities are spot on. So go forth and make me a movie that I can then talk about and demand people go see.
Thank you. Okay.